Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Well, hey, this is John Jackson. I am still sitting here at the Montana Talk studio. We were supposed to go to Aaron Flint right there out in Plentywood, and I'm looking at Caden, the producer over there, and we were waiting for Aaron to kick in. I think he's having some kind of connection problem out there. They'll probably get it sorted out here in the next couple of minutes, but we've got a couple of minutes before that next break, and you know, hopefully he'll get it squared away out there. What have y'all been talking about out there lately? We got into a whole bunch of this stuff at the break. What have you seen from our modern-day Democrats? And I got this from, you guys know Tim Tharp. That is Tim from Savage. He's a great caller, a constant caller into the radio here, and one of our good buddies here at Montana Talks. He sent this to Aaron and I on our Twitter messaging yesterday, and I told him, I said, bro, I'm stealing that. I'm using that for the air. But he took a post from somebody else on X and sent it to us, and it says, I'll read it to you. It says, so far, we have gotten they're trying to get Aaron patched in there. They're probably them trying to get patched in. He says, so far, we have gotten the Democrats to defend Hamas, the Trinidadawa and MS-13 gangs, boys seeing naked girls at school, men beating up women for sport, no prison for attempted murder, and setting fires to electric cars. That's just a sample of what your Democratic Party out there is defending and pushing for right now here post-Trump. They really don't know whether to scratch their butts or to pee. They really just don't know what to do now. And what makes it even worse is the people that are supposed to be their leader seem to be clueless as well. Right now you've got Chuck Schumer out there who, because he decided to go ahead and keep the government open here and provide the votes for this continuing resolution, his entire party hates him. And their majority leader in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, is completely worthless. He's just another hood rat. I mean, they don't know where to go or what to do right now. And I'm telling you guys, I love it. I hope they stay right where they are, defending all of their terrorist buddies and telling you exactly who they are. All right, we'll go into the break. And hopefully after this, Aaron Flint will be at you from Plentywood.
It's March 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Ravioli Day. This pasta dish is an Italian comfort food we can all enjoy, whether it's filled with cheese, meat, or vegetables. Ravioli are a staple on many dinner tables, so if you have the time, try making them from scratch or pick some up, fresh or frozen, from your local grocery store. The ravioli is also very versatile, equally as tasty in tomato sauce or in a broth. And if you're feeling a bit more adventurous, try them fried or toasted. Also on this date, in 1852, the book Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe is published. And in 1973, Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Roberto Clemente is elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame 11 weeks after losing his life in a plane crash. If it's your birthday today, you share it with...
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Beautiful day for
the man who hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Fred Rogers, born in 1928. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
It can be tricky to determine your payroll withholding taxes. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payroll deductions are very hard to calculate, CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
It's kind of dependent on what kinds of other expenses you have that might reduce your taxable income.
For example,
you had a salary of $100,000, but you had very large medical bills. That might decrease your actual tax liability, and so you might want less money withheld.
It's a good idea to gauge a few months into the year to see where you are and where your income will be and how much liability you'll have, and either you or an accountant can do the calculations. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, looks like we still do not have Aaron Flint out there from Plentywood, so we'll just keep on rolling here, right here in the studio here from Billings. Remember, phone number to call, 406-294-0970. Start off this hour, all of y'all remember our favorite guy, our favorite vice presidential candidate, Tampon Tim Walz. The guy that, if there was a commercial for low testosterone, for the femboy low testosterone Democrat male, beta male, it's him. And he showed that, he cemented that reputation in the campaign for 3 months last fall. They were even out there, even his supporters were out there bragging that he was the new masculinity because they knew he came off like such a priss. You know, out there with his jazz hands and his waving his hands, and it just his entire manner put that out. Well, somehow now, what are we, 5 months past the election? And now he has tapped himself, I guess. I mean, I'm assuming nobody else tapped him and told him to get out there and be the face of the Democrat Party now. But he's tapped himself to go out there and go around the country and rally the troops. He's going to be the voice and the face of Democrats out here now. Just talking to the regular folks, y'all. Talking to y'all rubes out there. I just find that hilarious. And even people in the media who are normally, say, fair and balanced or right down the middle or Democrats are looking at this guy going, are you kidding me? Who nominated this guy to be their voice? And him trying to also tout all of his successes in Minnesota Stan up there as an example of what Democrats want to do to the entire country. Oh, gee whiz. Okay. we got the phone lines lighting up here. We got on line one, we have, that is Perry in Columbus. You hear me, Perry?
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm fine. You know, the glorious unending stream of victories for MAGA patriots since January 20th have given all conservatives hope that we can save this republic from the radical left. But now is not the time to just stand back and watch. The communist, Islamist Democrats are like rust on bare metal. They'll never stop or sleep until you cut them out. It's why they defend scumbags like immigrant Mahmoud Khalil, who stand on American soil and scream about their goal of obliterating Western culture from the world. They're losing their grip on America's future every day now, and the fear of being fully exposed for who they really are is making them even more desperate and dangerous. we can't prevent what might happen in the nation's big cities when push comes to shove, but we can raise our voices, step up to the plate, and work to fix the elements of Montana state and local governments that either tacitly or actively support the leftist agenda of top-to-bottom control of we the people, talking about indoctrination of our kids in public schools, activist judges that treat constitutional law like a roll of toilet paper, and worst of all, Democrats that run for office as Republicans and thumb their noses at conservatism after Election Day. So, John, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, you are dead on as always, Perry. Thank you very much for the call. And he is dead on about a couple of things there, but I think his most important point was the first one, in that, see, for Democrats and the left and these communists, politics and power is their life, which is why what Perry was saying, they never stop. They always keep coming. It's why you can see in these red states and red cities, you'll see your city councils and maybe even your legislatures and your school boards full of these people. And you're like, how in the world did these people get power in our city, in our county, in our school board? It's because that's all they do. Okay, you're out there working your job, raising your kids, and you're just a patriotic guy. And if they break the glass on a war somewhere, you're going to step up and say, I'll go. But other than that, you're just going about your business. They're out here running for office. Politics and power is their life. And we're going to have to make it our lives now if we're going to stop them. Have control, maintain control. Let's see who we got. We got Gene in Belgrade on line two. Morning, Gene.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. I'll get quickly to the chase. I understand you have some law background, and I'm wondering why we allow us to be pay taxes on our property on unrealized profits. I mean, bluntly put, paid a couple hundred grand for the house. It's now worth about seven. I pay taxes on the seven. I don't pay taxes on the two. Isn't that slightly illegal?
Yeah, and that, unfortunately, we've been complaining about that for years now. And you see this all over the country. It's not just in Montana. This is like this slippery way that these politicians just keep on raising our taxes without raising the income tax. They just raise the property tax on you. It's a real slippery way, and they're doing it everywhere, even in the reddest of red areas. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Gene. We got the break coming up, and we'll be right back with Goose and Ron on the phones. Y'all stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists worry about things that ordinary people don't give a second thought to. We try to measure growth. After all, that requires measuring what the economy produces. It's easy in this rough sense. We convert physical production to dollars and add it all up, using the prices of the products, of course. But here's a new problem that's emerging. A lot of what was produced in the digital economy has no price. Consider the production of photographs. Once upon a time, that involved film, services to produce it, and the printing of photos. Cash changed hands, we added it up. No problem. Not so today. Smartphones give us endless pictures for nothing. Just as online searches, social media posts, and other digital content yields value yet commands no price. Measured in the traditional way, photography has shrunk significantly in the last 20 years. But the digital economy is actually growing, almost twice as fast as everything else, according to new research from the federal statistical agencies. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Country.
I'm Monica DeLuca. At the iHeart Music Awards, the title of Top Country Song of the Year went to... I Had Some Help by Post Malone featuring Morgan Wallen. Post Malone also took home Country Album of the Year, but the Country Artist of the Year was Jelly Roll, and the Best New Country Artist, Shaboozy. Country music star Orville Peck is known for wearing a mask during performances and even interviews off stage, but he will be showing his face when he stars in Cabaret on Broadway beginning March 31st. Let me take you on a midnight ride. He and Eva Noblezada Estrada will replace Adam Lambert and Ali'i Carvalho as the MC and Sally Bowles at the August Wilson Theater. The show's official Instagram shared a photo that shows Peck without his mask. However, his gloved hands cover most of his face. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. We have on the phone lines right now, we have Goose and Anaconda. What you got, Goose?
Yeah, Joker. We can spend the next 20 years exposing the corruption and the fraud and all the bad things in our government. We know of Peter Strzok and John Brennan spying on our president with James Comey. We know of our tax dollar money is going to the Soros family that's coming back to destroy our country. We know of Fauci, who all of his nefarious things with gain of function and all his stuff that's killing millions of people around the world. We know about all this. And so it's time. The Democrats have seemed to found a way to keep us this constant state of defense where we're just talking about all the bad things they're doing every day. Every day it's talking about these bad things. It's time to go on the offense and put some of this corruption aside and start prosecuting, indicting, putting people in handcuffs that have been destroying our country. And God knows there is a lot of them. Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, Pelosi. You know, the Bidens, Obama for that matter. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. You know, Bobby Kennedy knows about the spraying that's being done in our skies with all the stratospheric aerosol injections because I saw him interview Dane Winnington. So he knows about all the stuff that's being done in our skies. And by the way, Aaron Flynn thinks that's crazy, but just last 2 weeks ago, our own legislation voted to ban weather modification in our state, and 24 voted to ban it, 32 didn't vote to ban it. So it's real, it's happening. All you got to do is look up in our skies most every day, and you can see them spraying all kinds of metals, heavy metals and toxins in our skies. So it's time that we go on the offense. We could be put on the defense all day long. And just like you said with the whole Tyson boxing match, I mean, it's time the Democrats stopped playing by the Constitution years ago. Quite frankly, I think the Republicans have too, but the Republicans got to grow a set of berries and start taking the gloves off and, we need to start hearing about some indictments, some subpoena, you know, screw the hearings, screw the committee, you know, all this talk, but nothing gets done. It's time to show the American people some people in jail. Because this is just a never-ending process of just BS. Thank you.
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely dead on there, Goose. You're speaking my language. That's exactly the same thing we've been saying on our podcast and our spaces for probably 2 years now. Is that and to borrow a line from Dan Bongino, "Cutie time is over." And over this last 4 years, you know, forget about, you know, all that going back. Just in these last 4 years, the atrocities, the crimes against humanity that have been committed against the American people by these communist villains inside the Biden administration and the people that continue to be inside our government, even as Trump and his people go about getting these people out. It is no longer just let bygones be bygones, move on. All of these people have to get investigated, prosecuted, perp walks, handcuffs. And you know why? It is not really about the revenge. It is not really about the justice that they all deserve. It's about the future. If we don't do this now, if they don't all face consequences for it, they'll do it again. The next Democrat that gets in here, if Gavin Newsom comes in here in 28 or 32 or whenever, they're going to crank all of this stuff back up to 11. unless we show them you can and will go to jail for this stuff. That's the only way it stops. It's a just a bedrock philosophy of law enforcement and justice, not just in this country, but around the world. How do you stop crime now and stop it in the future is make sure people know there are penalties for their crimes. We have to do this. No more Mr. Nice Guy, okay? And let's see, we got somebody on the phone here. We got, that is Ron in Billings. What you got, Ron?
I was just wondering what gives this district federal judge the right to order President Donald Trump and his cabinet around as far as getting rid of these illegal aliens. I don't, he's got, he's a district judge, a federal district judge. He shouldn't have any power other than in his district. It just makes me mad for somebody to seemingly try to destroy our country. And that's all I've got to say.
No, dead on, Goose. Thanks for the call. You're absolutely right. Sorry, I think that was Ron. Sorry, Ron, you're definitely right. And right, we talked about this a little bit in the previous hour. Right there in the law, upheld by now the Supreme Court of the United States several times, it says that the President of the United States has what they call plenary power over immigration, over illegal aliens, over the border, over all of that, because we were challenging some of that stuff during the Biden times about him allowing this invasion of our country, not just allowing it, but funding it and enabling and encouraging it. And we're told over and over again by the Supreme Court that no, the presidency controls that absolutely. It's called plenary powers. And also it says right in that Alien Enemies Act, the president can just make a declaration that we are being invaded by a hostile foreign government, and then he can then enact this statute. So you're absolutely right. These people are just way out of their lanes, and he's not the only one. It's I listed some of those in the previous hour of these just outrageous overreach by these people. They are assuming the presidency of the United States themselves as if they were elected to be president. And there's what, 600-700 of these guys around the country? Are we to be made to believe that these inferior judges can, with a stroke of a pen, assume the power of the president of the United States? What's going to be next? I think Stephen Miller was pointing this out the other day. What's going to be next? Are they going to jump up and say, some federal judge somewhere is going to say, oh no, sorry, this battleship can't go over here to the Mediterranean. No, it has to stay over here. That's the level of ridiculousness that we are in right now, and it just cannot stand. And several of these people have been pointing out that we are on the verge of having a judiciary that is illegitimate, because we have what do they say in the Constitution? Separate but equal powers, right? That has gotten way out of whack here, because now in the last however many years, it has become an accepted fact that these men in robes are the ultimate authority on everything, and they tell us ultimately what we're going to do. Well, no, But we allow them this latitude just because they were thought to be learned men of law and justice, blind justice. So we consented to that. We're not going to be consenting to this BS much longer. Okay. I see we had line one. We got here. We got Brian in Three Forks.
Good morning, John.
Morning.
I'm curious about this federal judge in D.C. stopping the flights of the illegal aliens who have who the Trump administration has actual law, case law, that supports his activity. Yet during the Biden administration, the Supreme Court said he could not forgive student loans. The student loans were done anyway. Supreme Court, district judge, I don't know. I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody points to that about Biden just ignoring the Supreme Court on those student loan vote buying, that student loan vote buying scam that they were trying to pull off. And what the Biden regime was doing is they were playing lawfare back. And when they were going just right by strictly by the letter of the order, of the letter of the ruling that SCOTUS came back with, and then they would just move it right over here to the right, move it over here to the left. Okay, now we're going to do it over here, not going to go do it over there. I think it was twice that the Supreme Court came back and said, no, you can't do that. And they just continue to move it and move it and move it. And that's, unfortunately, that's how people that are slimy and sleazy play with the law. If, thank you very much for the call there, Brian. They play with the law. Like if they tell you, you can't go up those stairs anymore. Well, you're not going to go up the stairs anymore, right? Well, these sleazoids out here, what they do is they just go grab a pole vault, go run at that stairwell, boop, pop, up they go there at the top of the stairs. And then they look around at you and smile and say, well, you just told me I couldn't walk up the stairs. That's the kind of BS that the Biden regime played for 4 years. Well, now we're going to be forced to play it back at these radical left-wing loons wearing robes out there. We'll see where this ends up landing. Hopefully, we won't get to a point to where we have an actual time that the Trump administration has to tell them no, but it may come to that. If the Supreme Court doesn't step up and do their job, it is going to come to that. And that's why everybody's all over John Roberts right now, the Chief Justice, to get him to step up and do his job. We got the break coming up. I see on line one, we got Rick in Billings. Rick, stand by. We will get to you right after the break. And we'll also see if we got Aaron Flynn on the line. We'll see if he's going to be back at you here in a minute. We'll know after this break.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Can you hear me back in the...
All right, we thought we had Aaron there for a second, and I heard his voice come over my headset there, and then it dropped. So that they are still figuring it out in there. They've got the, I think they're going to have to, Travis, if you're out there, call into the studio, brother. We need some technical assistance in here. Right now, I saw over the break, we got Rick in Billings. Rick has been waiting patiently. Stand by there, sir.
Good morning. Caden, how are you? I'm hearing John now, but why did it go dark for a minute?
Now I got to, there's Aaron. He just came over. I just heard him there for a second there. This, Rick, go ahead.
Okay. Talk about these federal judges. I lived in California in the 80s, and we had a ballot proposition. I think it was 187, and it was to deny funding to illegal aliens, immigrants or whatever, and hundreds of dollars were spent on this initiative, and it passed overwhelmingly. high 70% of people in California said, no, we shouldn't be giving our tax dollars to people that come into this country who have never given anything back. And it passed. And that one judge, Molly, in the Ninth Court out there, he deemed it all unconstitutional. And that was it. You know, one federal judge took away the will of the entire population of the state of California.
Well, I always use the example of New York State when these things come up. Aaron and I have talked about a lot about this because the judicial activism here in Montana is out of control. You saw here a few years ago that in New York, the New York State knew that the Supreme Court was going to come out and strike down their firearms laws up there in New York because they were unconstitutional. I mean, it's right there in the Second Amendment. They knew it was going to happen. So you know what the New York State people did? They had a new law already boilerplated, already ready to go. And as soon as the Supremes came out with their ruling, then they filled in a bunch of spots. I want to say they had that up through their legislature and signed by the government in less than a month. Okay, and all they do is just make a new law, and now they're going to make you take it all the way through the system again. And, you know, 2 years, 3 years from now, if the Supreme Court strikes it down again, well, you know what? They'll just do it again. That's how our side needs to operate. You don't just say, oh, well, settled law. Okay, move on. We lost. No, that's not what the left does.
Nope. I'm with you. Punch for punch, you know. And then here's another thing. These judges, say, I don't care what level you are, okay? If you pass a ruling knowing it's going to be overturned, shouldn't that be some sort of crime?
It should be. I mean, it should be.
Yeah, if you pass a ruling knowing it's going to be overturned, you're not fulfilling your obligation as a judge. It just proves the point again that you're activist. You know, that should be, and somebody needs to look into that.
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, our legal system does. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call there, Rick. Unfortunately, our legal system does exist on that, the what's in the written law, and you can't hold people to what they call the spirit of the law. Unfortunately, I wish we could. Stand by one. I think we have got Aaron Flint on the line. Let's see if we can get him. Still got dead air here. I do not hear Aaron. Oh, no, they said Kane Sanders still down in there. All right, so we will just keep on rolling here at Montana Talks. It's so wild. It's my first time being up here from going. It is a wild thing to be here in the pitch dark, where there's nothing out there, just pitch dark. And we're up here on the 23rd floor, and it's just pitch dark. And then to go from that to light now. And you guys know, here in Billings, Montana, you can on a nice, clear day, that shot of the Beartooth Mountains across the way here, it's only about, what would that be, about 70 miles from here. It's just gorgeous. Caden's telling me just keep on rolling because we apparently still have got some kind of technical difficulties. And he's in here jamming up. He's getting on the screen here trying to figure this thing out. In all of these, the talk about the federal government and our waste, fraud, and abuse, our debt and our deficit, what's lost in all of this is the question of what in the world should we be spending our money on? And guys, it's right there in the Constitution. I'm going to see if I can do this from memory, but our founders spelled it out right there in the Constitution. In that they talked about the military, and that would be military / law enforcement. Okay, obviously protecting the people from foreign and domestic enemies. Taxes and duties. The border. Now, if there's another one in there enumerated, y'all let me know. Y'all call in and let me know. But those were the main three. And now today, as we sit here in the main modern day, you would have to assume that infrastructure would be also something that the federal government would be responsible for with our modern day interstate railway systems, all of that. You would have to assume that would that would be a part of that protecting the people. But everything else that they're spending money out there on should not be happening. And we should be telling our representatives, be they anywhere, in a city council, in a county commission, state legislature, federal Congress, anytime these subjects come up, no. Aaron and I have joked before on his program because, you know, these different levies come up here for this and that. I say, Aaron, I don't care if you're going to put me out a proposal for a homeless shelter for pregnant, alcoholic, drug addict lesbians. Okay? No. The answer is no. That is not the job of the federal government or for any government for that matter. We have gotten so far afield of that. And see, now that government that was supposed to be a small but necessary evil, it's that 300, 400-pound anaconda wrapped all the way around your body and your neck, squeezing the ever-loving life out of you, and it's got to stop. My father, years ago, after he retired, they asked him to come on and be the comptroller of this county commission, and my father was an accountant by trade his whole life. And he was very good at, well known for it. So he said, sure, I'll help you guys. I'll help you out with that. And he would go to all these county commission meetings, and all they would do was scheme and plot about how to spend more taxpayer money. And he'd be the guy, I'm getting a little garble there, Caden. He would be the guy in the back of the room that every time they would come up with these schemes, he'd be raising his hand, and like he'd have the books there in front of him and say, yeah, you guys don't have the money for that. And so after about 6 months of him doing that at every meeting, they told him his services were no longer required. But, hey, do we have Aaron Flint on the line here? I think we might have it.
So I'm on the computer. Hopefully you don't have to look at my face, John. Am I coming in garbled right now? If so, I have an easy fix for that.
Yeah, brother, you're garbled. You're garbled.
We'll fix it during the break. I got an easy fix for that.
Okay. You just want to keep on rolling?
You keep driving on.
Okay, sounds good. Man, I can see you perfectly. Man, I can right now, I can see Aaron Flint's face perfectly from his remote spot. And I'm hearing myself kind of garbled now, too. It sounds like there's some feedback.
Okay, let's just do it live. See that little mic arrow? Change the speaker to something else and then switch it right back.
Oh, Lord, you're going to have to bring in Caden for that, brother. Caden, did you hear that direction?
Call the J6. Where's tech support?
We're doing live.
Hi, John in the bunker. I'm the guy calling from the bunker, from an undisclosed location. That's why my voice is garbled.
Now, I think Caden's doing what you said right now. Try it again there, Caden. He's clicking around with something there.
That's so funny.
Guys, he's giving me the no. I'm coming up. How do you hear me?
It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute. Oh.
There are these protesters showing up at these town halls for Republican Congress people. And then the media picks up a Republican Congress people getting an earful because they support Elon Musk. No, this is not organic. We're now discovering that those protesters are part of organizations, radical left-wing organizations, that are sabotaging these town halls instead of giving questions to real constituents. And they're designed to create as much trouble and confrontation as they possibly can. So if you see that on TV and the fake news media and the state-run legacy media mob is lying to you, just know that the odds are very high that it's not real.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump says his administration will abide by court orders, but officials here remain highly critical of federal judges imposing injunctions on agency actions.
This judge, Judge Boasberg, is a Democrat activist.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt has singled out D.C. District Court Judge Jeb Boasberg for his order blocking some deportation flights of accused gang members. The president has called for the judge's impeachment, sparking a rare rebuke from the Supreme Court's Chief Justice John Roberts.
He has great respect for the Chief Justice John Roberts, and it's incumbent upon the Supreme Court to rein in these activist judges.
Leavitt says more than 60% of all lower court injunctions the past 25 years have been against President Trump.
This is a clear, concerted effort by leftists who don't like this president.
The lower court injunctions are temporary. The administration will appeal. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
Boy, that was odd. There's something going on here, Caden. I'm getting way garbled in feedback here. There. That kind of cleared it a little bit. I can't hear the music coming out, but I'm just watching the red thing. We've got a lot of technical difficulties here this morning as we try to hook up with Aaron out there in Plentywood. He thought he had it there for a second, and we can see him perfectly over his screen here. The video is coming up perfectly, but the audio is totally garbled. I think we're caught by our own advancements in technology. But going back to that other point we were talking about, that's what's gotten way, way out of hand here with our federal government and all governments, is that they just continue to spend. They think it's their job to spend your money. And, you know, you heard here a couple of years ago, like here in Montana, there was a $2 billion surplus. I'm hearing that there may be as much as that again, right? Well, if there's a surplus in the government, they have more than they need. Every single penny of that has to come back to us. You know why? Because they ought to be operating on already a balanced budget. So they've already got all the money they had labeled for all these things they have to do, so that anything over comes right back to us. We all have to do it. Our businesses, you and your private business, you and your private household, you have to conduct yourself that way, don't you? You have to make everything at the end of every month come out equal, or you get put on the bad boy credit list. You know, you get your stuff repoed, don't you? You get it repossessed. You get no credit. You get consequence for that. And if you ever have any left over at the end, you put it over here in your savings account. If you've got $200 left at the end of a month, do you turn around and just go find something to spend it on? You know, okay, I managed to get $200 left over at the end of the month here. Am I just going to go out and buy some crazy thing online because I just happen to have a little money? No, you know that I need to save this money. And our politicians need to be told, give that money back. I tell you, you don't hear that a lot in Montana, do you? You never hear these years when we are getting these billion-dollar surpluses, do you? You know why? Because they don't want you to know about it. And the mainstream media here in Montana, your local media, doesn't want you to know about it either, because they want Helena to spend that money. they know it's in their interest to keep on spending your tax money. We really do need a cultural, I want to make sure and say that very clear, a cultural revolt in this country over the spending of our money. And I think here in the next couple of months, when Elon Musk and Doge, when they come up with their final product of the trillions of dollars of our money that's out there being wasted and stolen, it's going to shock even the most cynical news consumers out here. All of us are going to demand an end to it. Now, you're going to have to be listening to places like Montana Talks. You're going to have to be up on X. You're going to have to be listening to conservative voices to hear about this, because the mainstream media is not going to want to tell you about all of this, because they've been cheerleading it for the last 40 years. And your politicians are not going to really want to tell you about any of this either, because they've out there had their snouts all up in this trough for the last God knows how many years. So you got a bunch of them been up there 20, 30, 40 years making this a full-time profession of stealing your money. I love these guys. But I always talk about, like, John Kennedy out of Louisiana. You know, I call him Foghorn Leghorn. He's like one of my favorite guys, because he's always out there on Fox News and got the best sound bite. Oh, that Biden administration, let me tell you. But then he votes with them all the time. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists worry about things that ordinary people don't give a second thought to. We try to measure growth. After all, that requires measuring what the economy produces. It's easy in this rough sense. We convert physical production to dollars and add it all up, using the prices of the products, of course. But here's a new problem that's emerging. A lot of what was produced in the digital economy has no price. Consider the production of photographs. Once upon a time, that involved film, services to produce it, and the printing of photos. Cash changed hands, we added it up. No problem. Not so today. Smartphones give us endless pictures for nothing. Just as online searches, social media posts, and other digital content yields value yet commands no price. Measured in the traditional way, photography has shrunk significantly in the last 20 years. But the digital economy is actually growing almost twice as fast as everything else, according to new research from the federal statistical agencies. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.